United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees says it's broadly satisfied with the agreement reached between the Australian and Malaysian governments, but it is asking for more detail on some of the practical arrangements. Malaysia isn't a signatory to the UN Refugee Convention, and when he spoke to Samantha Donovan in Canberra, the Commission's regional representative, Richard Toll, reacted cautiously to the government's suggestion that it'll be relying heavily on the UN body to monitor the implementation of the agreement.
We need to look at the details of how people will be treated and the various rights and entitlements and conditions for them when they go back there. But most of the world's refugees are today living in countries that haven't signed the Refugee Convention. So the fact that you haven't signed the convention doesn't mean that you're not treated properly. But having said that, it is important to identify the core protection safeguards that we would like to see in any return arrangement.
What are some of the specifics then that you'd like more detail on?
Well, the core one, which I think everybody agrees on, and that's the what we call the principle of non-refoulement, that's non-expulsion of asylum seekers and refugees out of the country to face persecution. We would want to see that, and I think we are seeing that as a commitment from both governments. We would also like to see safeguards around how people are received back into Malaysia and the sorts of treatment that they might expect to have. We are very much in favour of community-based arrangements for people to allow them safety and dignity whilst their claims are looked at and whilst they're waiting for solutions. And we are not in favour, either in Australia or anywhere else, of mandatory detention and protracted detention. So we would like to explore what community-based arrangements could be made available to people returned under such an arrangement. And related to that, of course, health and welfare and other education and treatment of children and vulnerable groups. So there are...
How concerned, though, has the UNHCR been in terms of Malaysia's performance previously in relation to some of those basic rights?
Well, I think we need to judge this arrangement by what commitments are being negotiated. There have been some difficulties around the detention system in Southeast Asia generally. It's not confined to Malaysia.
Do past problems, though, in Malaysia not concern you?
Past concerns in all countries in the region are of concern from a human rights point of view, of course. But what we're concerned about in the present arrangement is if people are to be returned under a bilateral agreement, that we can be satisfied that they will receive appropriate treatment and support and protection.
Well, the Immigration Minister, Chris Bowen, points to the fact that the Malaysian Prime Minister has given an undertaking that people sent there will be treated with respect and dignity. Are you satisfied with that undertaking?
Well, that's a very important undertaking from the Prime Minister, of course. We would need to see what arrangements are being put in place in practice for people and what place, if any, detention might have in that.
The Minister, Chris Bowen, says the Australian government will largely be relying on the UNHCR to monitor the implementation of the agreement. How does the UNHCR feel about that?
Our role in the agreement is largely confined to doing refugee status determination and... If we're to have other roles, I think they need to be discussed at some point as the agreement becomes clearer in terms of its consequences and operationalising it. We'll have an additional caseload of potentially up to 800 people over 4 years. But if you put that against what we already face in Malaysia, and that's more than 80 to 100,000 people of concern to us. So it's an addition, but we can certainly manage it if we have appropriate resources.
How active then does Australia need to be in monitoring the arrangement?
I think it's very important that this agreement is appropriately monitored and is seen to deliver not only outcomes for governments in terms of dealing with human smuggling and trafficking movements, but also is seen to deliver improved protection for people in the region. I think in that sense, it has the potential to be make a significant practical contribution to what we're trying to achieve in the region. And if it's a good experience, other countries can look at it and say, yes, that's a positive way of managing these issues. Perhaps we want to embark on similar or other initiatives under a regional cooperation framework.
Minister Bowen says he expects some people will resist being sent to Malaysia, including perhaps refusing to get off the plane. But in his words, he says appropriate measures will be used to see they comply. Does that concern you?
I don't have any knowledge at the moment of what the operational side of transfers will engage. Obviously, there are human rights issues around the movement and forced movement or transfer of people in any sense. So those things need to be carefully factored in. But I'm really not in a position at the moment to comment on how transfers will be affected and who will be involved.
Does this arrangement differ from the Howard government's so-called Pacific solution?
I think there's some very significant differences in relation to Malaysia. This is an agreement, it's a bilateral agreement that has been negotiated within a broader regional cooperation framework with the involvement of UNHCR and the involvement of IOM, and we hope the involvement of other important actors as well, including non-governmental organisations. So it is an agreement between countries that are actively involved with refugee issues and all and both commonly face a refugee displacement problem. The countries that were involved in the Pacific solution were not. Australia was obviously looking at ways to divest itself of some of the responsibilities of dealing with refugees. The countries that were negotiated, Nauru and PNG at that time, did not have a refugee issue of their own and largely became places where Australia was able to manage its own protection responsibilities under the convention. So it was not a regional burden-sharing arrangement at all. It was much more of a responsibility-shifting arrangement, and that's why we think there are, not only philosophically but also in the way they were implemented, quite different types of arrangements.
That's the UNHCR's regional representative Richard Toll speaking to Samantha Donovan in Canberra.